would open your Bibles to
1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I hope everybody got a paper. If you didn't, raise your hand. I think everybody got one. We're going to start a new study this evening entitled For the Faith. And so I want to invite you to open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And also, if you can do this, multitask, hold your finger there and open to Philippians 1 and verse 27. So 1 Corinthians 15 and Philippians chapter 1. Did everybody have a great Christmas?
Amen.
Is anybody else a little bummed that it's over? And how many of you are so glad it's over? Scrooges, every one of you. I'm telling you, the truth is, I usually am ready for Christmas, so ready for Christmas about the time it's over. And it's like, man, I got to wait a whole nother year now. And that's the way I am. Some of you guys, you just can't wait for it to be over. But either way, we are down to the wire. This is the end of another year. And they are going by faster and faster and faster, it seems to me. I've decided that it's kind of like a countdown. And the faster the years go, that just means you're getting closer to the end. Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? But, amen. Yeah, so you better get ready because time's running out. But we're going to study a new series of lessons, introduce it tonight. And if you're able, let's stand together to honor God's word tonight. Philippians 1:27, let's start right there. This is the theme verse for the whole study. And then we're going to get into our text for the study, the lesson tonight in 1 Corinthians. But Philippians 1 and verse 27, the Word of God says, only let your conversation, that is, your lifestyle, your behavior, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we want to work together, strive together for the faith of the gospel. And we're going to learn in this series of lessons about the faith. It is our system of beliefs. It's our doctrines. It's what we believe from the Word of God. And listen, we are a Baptist church, not by tradition. We're a Baptist church by doctrine. Because Bible doctrine is Baptist doctrine. That's why we believe these things that we've been passed down throughout the generations to the churches through the Word of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, we'll take our text from there for the lesson tonight, the significance of our faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faith that has been delivered unto us, and please help us to strive together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please help me now, Lord. I pray that you would forgive my sin and the sin of all of us here tonight. And Lord, that you would help us just to truly love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help us to learn how important the faith is tonight. Bless your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The faith, our system of beliefs, our doctrine, if you will. It starts with the gospel, but it carries on to everything we learn from the Word of God. Some people say that they don't care much about doctrine. And some church leaders today say that they're not really concerned about doctrine. That's crazy. If you care about what the Bible says, then you care about doctrine. Doctrine is simply teaching. And you ought to care about what God teaches us from His Word. It ought to be very important to us. Now, we all have things that we believe. Have you ever been challenged in your beliefs? Have you ever been challenged about what you believe or why you believe it? If any of you have ever been to college, you will be challenged. Or maybe you've been challenged in school. Or maybe you've been challenged at the workplace. Maybe you've been challenged just by what you see in culture, what you've heard, or you've got some friends have challenged what you believe. When I was in school, I was challenged with what I believe. I was challenged by professors who said things like, evolution is not a theory, it's a fact. I was challenged by those that said, you don't have to compromise your faith to believe in what evolution says. And they challenged what I believed. And it caused me to have to go and study and find these things out, search the scriptures. But we don't need to just know what we believe. We ought to know why we believe it. It's vital for us to know what we believe from the Word of God. But it's absolutely essential for us to know why we believe it from the Word of God. It's one thing for me to stand up here and tell you that this is so and this is so, and you say, all right, that sounds good to me. It's a whole other thing for you to get in the Word of God and study it out and see why it is that way. Because then you develop your own convictions about it. Then you have something that you are standing on, and you can't be moved from that place. We don't want to just teach these kids back in the back what the Bible says. We want them to know what it says. We want them to know why it says it. We want them to understand why we believe what we believe. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15 that we ought to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And we want to know. Think about this. If somebody were to ask you, what separates Jesus from other good teachers or philosophers in human history, would you know what to say? Why is Jesus different? I mean, why is Jesus any better than Muhammad? Why is his teachings better than the Dalai Lama's? What is it so special about Jesus? Would you know what to say to that? And if you come across somebody who is entrenched in those beliefs, they have a high regard for those teachings of their faith, and they're going to have a lot of ammunition. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I don't know a whole lot about Muhammad. I don't know a whole lot about Buddha or any of the rest of those guys. I don't know near as much as I should about Jesus, but I know who he is, and I know why he's different than the rest of those guys. Amen. And we need to study and know why. What about this? How do you know that you can trust your Bible? How do you know that what's in that book is true, or that it's any better than any other book? Would you know how to answer that if somebody confronted you with it? How about this? Well, listen, I know you've got your beliefs, but isn't it possible that there are many different paths that lead to God? I mean, are you telling me that these millions and billions of people are just wrong and only the Christians got it right? I mean, is that really what you believe? Now, there's some hard questions that come at us, and I've been asked some that I think are even harder than that when somebody comes at you, but these are questions about our faith. They're questions about our doctrine. And in this study, we hope to learn some things that will shore up our faith and help us understand what we believe and why we believe this, and help us over the next 12 or 13 weeks to learn about the faith that was delivered to the saints. Maybe you've got some questions yourself. I don't know how you are, but I've always been like that. Listen, why? I probably drove my parents nuts. I know I drove my Sunday school teachers nuts, just the way my kids drive me nuts. It doesn't matter why. Whatever I say and whatever answer, why? Why? It's okay when you're talking about faith and eternity. It's probably a good idea to ask why. This is not some small thing. This is everlasting life and death. It's a big deal. Amen. And it's important that we get this stuff right. It's not okay to just take somebody's word for it. We need to get in the Word and study it out. So this is about finding those answers to these things. A long time ago in England, there was a professor of theology, and he was going around and he was teaching at different places, in different churches or schools in different places, and he was lecturing on the doctrines of the Christian faith. And he had a personal chauffeur that drove him from venue to venue. And his chauffeur and him were talking on the way to one venue, and he said, you know, I get so tired, James, always delivering the same lecture. You've heard me so many times, you could probably deliver it yourself. Why don't you do the next one for me? And they kind of joked around and stuff. And And the chauffeur said, well, you know, I could probably do it, sir. I really have heard it enough and I know it. But what about the question and answer time? And the professor said, well, I wouldn't worry about that so much. You know, the questions are all the same. So you probably know the answers to those too. So they switched uniforms before they got to the next place. Professor put on the chauffeur uniform and the chauffeur put on the professor's outfit, and he got up. And he gave the lecture, and he did a great job, flawless. I mean, he just did it perfect. And at the end, he said, are there any questions? Well, there was a professor from the local university that stood up and asked him a theological question of frightening complexity. And he froze for just a minute. Here's the chauffeur. All of a sudden, he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And finally, he goes, you know what? That question's so simple, I bet my chauffeur could answer it. You know, I don't know that anything we're going to study over the next 12 or 13 weeks is going to equip you to deal with any questions of frightening complexity. What we're talking about here are the core doctrines of our faith. The core doctrines of our faith. And I just want you to know this. When you get that right, it takes care of everything else. Amen. These simple truths about who Jesus is and what he taught us will take care of so many things. If you just understand Jesus and you understand grace and you understand salvation, it helps us with so many things. But we're going to learn about the faith. Let's get into the lesson number one, the introduction of our faith. The introduction of our faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. By the way, verse 2, when he says, unless you believed in vain, it simply means unless your faith was empty, unless your faith wasn't real. If your faith was real, if you really trusted Christ, then you've got this. You know this truth, you understand this truth, you have received eternal life. If your faith wasn't real, then you don't got it. You don't have it. That's good grammar, right? You don't got it. Our faith is not new. Paul wasn't sharing new truths with the Corinthian believers. He was calling them back to truth, which he had already preached to them when he came through on his second missionary journey. And you can study more about that in Acts chapter 18 if you'd like to do that. Letter A, our faith has been preached powerfully. He said, the faith which I preached unto you. When it comes to being strong in the doctrines of the faith, nothing can replace sound preaching. God has chosen preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And listen, that power is there when you get saved, and that power continues after you get saved. Amen. There is power in the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. It's the way God's chosen for His Word to go forth. In Luke 11:32, you can see what God says about the power of preaching. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And listen, I don't think Jonah's preaching was all that great. It wasn't Jonah. He didn't even want to be there. But when he went and proclaimed the word of God, the message of God, it changed an entire city. Amen. It's why? Because it's the preaching of the word of God. It's powerful. Letter B, our faith has been received personally. The faith, the doctrine, the truth that begins with the gospel, it's not effective if you simply understand it. You have to receive it. Amen. I think there are a lot of people who understand the concept of the gospel, and yet they remain lost. Amen. You think that's possible? Amen. People, I'm a sinner, I know that. My sin condemns me to a place called hell. I understand that. Jesus Christ is God's Son, and He died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I understand that. If I'll repent and believe in Jesus, I could have eternal life. I understand that. Well, when are you going to do that? I don't know. Wouldn't you like to do that today? No, I'm not ready. Just because they have a head knowledge, does that make them saved? No, it takes faith. We have to receive it by faith. And once you've received it by faith, we've got to receive it in our daily walk by walking according to the Word of God. In Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And this idea of faith, believing, and the faith, our system of beliefs, what we believe, they all go hand in hand. And the preaching of the word, by the way, is integral in both. In 2 Timothy 4:2, the Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Paul told the young Timothy, preacher, listen, you need to preach the word, and you need to do all of this in doctrine. And they go hand in hand. The faith was preached powerfully. It has to be received personally. I can't tell you how many times I talk to somebody and try to give them the gospel. They say, well, my grandpa was a Baptist preacher. I mean, that's their answer to their personal salvation. My grandpa was a Baptist preacher. What does that have to do with anything? My grandma went to church her whole life. She's the reason that my mom was in church and the reason I was in church. But what's your point? Listen, this is a personal decision. You have to personally believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And after you've been saved, you have to personally choose to, by faith, walk in the faith day by day. It's a personal decision. Nobody else can make it for you. And by the way, nobody else is going to give an account for you when you stand before the Lord. When you get to judgment day, your granddaddy, who was a Baptist preacher, isn't going to stand in your place. You're going to stand in your place. Letter C, our faith has been verified previously. Our faith has been verified previously. Our faith, the doctrine of the Bible, is worthy of our trust. What kind of impact has the faith, the doctrine of the Word of God, has it had? What kind of impact has it had on the world? I want you to think about the missionaries that have been sent around the world because of the faith. I mean, hospitals have been built. Civilizations have been shaped. I'm talking about thousands upon thousands of people's lives changed by the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Nations have been built. Amen. How about the United States of America? Founded and established and built on the doctrines of the Word of God. Amen. Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 34. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of all the prophets, who through